have the distinct pleasure, as one of the missions committee members, of welcoming Andrew, Letitia, their family, Amy, and Annie, to come and to join our service. And bienvenidos a nuestra iglesia. I get the audience to answer here. Well, welcome to our church. Yeah, that's good. Thanks for being generous. You know, it's really amazing. As a mission committee member, it's awesome when we have you and your family return back, because we're able to connect and hear the stories, put flesh to the stories. If you don't know, every 2 months we get newsletters back from Andrew and Letitia. They're full of just heartwarming stories about how they're ministering to the people in Monteverde. Did I say that right? Monteverde, and also in Carmelo. Okay, good. Muy bien. I'm going to share one story that it stuck with me. In last June's newsletter, Andrew and I led a team up to Panama. And so they took a team, went north, and were up there. And they were up there ministering to people in Panama, doing ministry. They were sharing with people. People came to know the Lord. They got them set up in local discipleship. And that's just, it's so cool. Think about this: the ministry that we're supporting in this family is also indirectly helping the gospel to expand in Panama. Pretty cool, eh? Yeah. So I'm excited. Brother, come on up. I'm not sure. Letitia, are you coming up too? No, just Andrew's going to be sharing today? Okay. So we're going to set up. He's going to share about what they're doing down. The whole Sunday is just oriented towards learning about their ministry in Monteverde. So come on, let's pray for you, and then I'll turn the floor over to you. Father, just thank you for our brother Andrew. Lord, his ministry, his work that they're doing there is just so powerful, so frankly motivating. Lord, thank you that you've placed them there. Thank you that they're ministering to them in the good, the hard, the sometimes the challenging. Spreading your gospel, building your kingdom up. So as he shares with us today, Father, give all of us open hearts to hear and to see what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's all yours.
Okay. Well, it's good to be here. I think is this on? Yes, good. Well, that was good Spanish. How long were you practicing the word what?
I practiced the whole probably 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Oh, wonderful. Okay. Thanks. Yes. Well, it's great to be here with your mate. You're part of a family stuff.
Good. The touch of the master. Thanks. Okay, now yes, it's coming out. Well, it's a pleasure to be here with you. I don't know, I know you all. I see no faces, I believe, from the last trip that we were here. So it's good to meet you all again. And we'll kind of divide the morning in two. I don't know what time I have to finish. Somebody told me that at 2 o'clock. That's dangerous. So if somebody should tell me the time I should finish, that would be good. Because we have 20 minutes? 25 minutes? Okay. So we'll have to just rush through 350 pictures approx. And I want to leave you with a short challenge there. So if I finish 5 minutes more, that would be good. 2:20, okay, you're there. Good, that's great. As our brother was saying, we've been in Uruguay for many years, a very small country, 3 million people, and we're under Brazil and Argentina. They're huge countries, but they're afraid of us. When we get on a soccer field, they know what Uruguay is capable of doing. So you know that young fellow there playing in Barcelona, Spain. He's on our national team, Suarez. I think he's bitten two or three people along his career, which is not good, but he's trying to change. Well, you know the mate. It's a very unique tea that Uruguayans drink all day long, 3 liters per day. So it's this green leaf that they pour into this mate, the gourd, and with a little metal straw. I didn't bring ours this time along, but it's a good drink, very healthy, and you'll find Uruguayans drinking it all day. They'll have the thermos under their arm, walking around in their job, school, whatever. So mate, that's a typical drink. And if you go down to Uruguay, you have to accept mate, just so you don't offend people. At least try one and say, well, that's okay. That's good. So get ready if you go down to Uruguay someday. It would be nice. You're welcome. Montevideo is a capital city. That's where we have been working for 6 years now. And lately, we went to plant a church in Punta del Este. It's on the east coast, on the Atlantic Ocean in Uruguay. And they call that city the Miami of South America. So it's a beautiful, beautiful city, beautiful beaches, awesome. I won't talk too much about it. But, well, there was a church planted and left there with leadership. And we moved on 6 years ago to Montevideo, and we've been working in Montevideo. These are some of the old buildings downtown. Very nice parliament building on the top. These are some of the beaches and the cities right on the coast. And some of the unique constructions that you find. The architect who built this bridge is the one that almost built the new Twin Towers. He's a Uruguayan, but his project came in second. So, well, instead of doing the Twin Towers, he made a bridge. And this airport also he built. This is the new airport that Uruguay has. A beautiful place. Carmelo, well pronounced. That's the second city that we've been working in the past 6 years. It's 250 kilometers away from Montevideo, so we travel quite a bit. We generally, with Leticia, go to Carmelo on a Friday, Saturday, and 250 kilometers, and Sunday we'll come back to Montevideo, 250 kilometers away. It's an intense work that we are doing in Carmelo. It's a very, 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 very tiny church. When we arrived there, there were six, brothers and sisters, and the church had gone through a lot of problems, and so it's slowly coming up, and it's taking a lot of time, a lot of work. We generally finish Sunday at 12 o'clock at night and head home and arrive home 3 o'clock in the morning. So long weekends, long days, lots of work, a lot of discipleship, counseling goes on when we go to Carmelo. You better make sure that the bridge is in the correct position when you go to Carmelo. That's the only entrance to the city when you go from Montevideo. It's a hand traction. You just turn it around, a manual. So it's no motor in there. Some of the characteristics of Uruguay. For many years, mission organizations around the world called Uruguay the cemetery of missionary. I know that you supported my grandfather for many years. When he went down to Uruguay, that was the reality. Missionaries would go down there and they work and work and work and see very little fruit from their labor. But God, in his sovereign will, has decided that change and all of the seeds that were put into the earth now are reaping. And so it's incredible the things that we're experiencing in Uruguay. Many coming to the Lord and accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord of their lives, and changes in their lives, and the transformation is just incredible. And people with that deep desire to not be lazy Christians, but really to have their hands and serve the Lord with all of their heart. And so I'd prefer to call it this way now, an atheist island in a religious continent. You typical Uruguayan is very humanistic. So, well, if that God or Jesus is okay for you, okay, I have my opinion about my life and about my creed. I believe this, 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 or I believe and I do that and this, and just let's leave it like that. We're good friends, right? And that's the way Uruguayan will put up a wall and say, I'm a good person. So the influence of Catholicism in the past with good works, good people, and you see it there in Uruguayans. Uruguayans are very generous. So we had a tornado. We've had several hurricanes, things that never happened in Uruguay, which are happening. And you'll see all the country moving to be able to help others. And that's the way that they feel comfortable, and that's their type of faith. And so when we talk about serving the Lord and good works, we are reminded constantly that we are not in a club business, that we are not doing good because many people, many non-Christians do good. We are doing good because we have a purpose behind us. We have been saved by grace, Ephesians 2. And we have been saved by grace to be able to serve in His grace. And that's wonderful. And Almighty God, powerful God, starts working in the lives of people that sometimes are very against Him. And because Uruguay has left God aside for so many years, I'd say since its foundation, well, other things come in. Same sex. I know that you're going through this in Canada also. To adopt a child now is very difficult for a normal couple, a normal man and woman. They'll give children first to the same-sex married couples. So those are parades. In December 2013, Uruguay passed a law permitting the growing, distribution, and consumption of marijuana. So our neighbors plant marijuana. So if I want to smoke a bit, I just jump over the wall and get some, and there I go. But that's happening. So crime has kind of increased quite a bit, and mental problems have started to happen in many of the young people. I know that you're also, sorry for changing your flag, but you're going the same way. Psalm 67, verse 2, has been the psalm of our life. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy salvation among all nations. Psalm 66 just ponders the name of God and the work of God and His faithfulness. And after Psalm 66 comes this beautiful psalm that I like to call it the missionary psalm. And this is the will of God, that thy way, the Lord's way, may be known upon earth, thy salvation among all nations. So part of our ministry in Uruguay has been to motivate and mobilize. And we like to do it as a teamwork. Not one here, another here, working together. And we've been teaching those that come to the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We walk with them. As they mature in their faith, we train them and we work with them. And it's wonderful to see how the Lord just multiplies His work. It's not about us. It's not about anybody. It's just about Him. And He's doing the work. And it's incredible. And as our brother was saying, this is the team that went to Panama. In Uruguay, we have been receiving mission trips, mission groups, small groups, going for 1, 2, 3 weeks, construction projects, helping with evangelism, or helping with different needs. And that has been wonderful. But it is time for our nation to wake up and realize that it's, well, we're thankful and we must be thankful that we have received groups, but that it's time also to move and take our people into the world, as the Lord expressed that desire in Acts 1:8 and to His disciples. So, we went to Panama, and here are some quick pictures, and we have our church there in Montevideo. There's about 120 members at this moment in the church there that we are serving, and the whole church just got behind this project. And they gave money, they gave of their talents, and they give of their time to help the group be able to get this first missionary trip from the Uruguayan churches that are working together going to Panama. So when we arrived to Panama, we went to a big supermarket, and we bought food and cleaning products. As a group, we got some bags of food and bags of cleaning products. So when we arrived to the jungle, into the communities there of the indigenous people, we'd be able to take a gift to them. So we took a normal indigenous community in Panama. We'll have about 25, 30 families to it. So we take one bag of food and one bag of cleaning products. And they really appreciated that. They like gifts. But we had another gift that we wanted to just kind of share. And that was the gift of God, Lord Jesus. So we saw many children, teenagers coming to the Lord. It was incredible. And when we went into the indigenous communities, sometimes there are no roads, no airplanes, and I guess we could have gone on a helicopter, but we didn't. We went up the river in our canoes, and we're able to minister to children, teenagers. We had a nurse, and she really spoke a lot to the young mothers. Many of those mothers have lost a lot of babies because they die of different types of fever. So it was incredible how they appreciated us giving them a thermometer. We have a thermometer in our home, at least in Uruguay. I know you here, and it's nothing weird. It's normal. But they appreciated that so much, and they were very blessed by it. And one of the neat experiences that we had, just seeing how God does things. We had one day in between this trip that we went down to the beach. We went to Panama, beautiful beaches there also. But we have to pay to go into the beach. That wasn't nice. In Uruguay, it's all free. And so we went, spent the day there, and when we were coming back, I just put the key into the van, started the van, closed the door, went to the washroom. Everybody was getting prepared. And when I come out of the washroom, some of the group say, "Andrew, did you lock the door?" "No." And the door was locked. And I didn't have a second key. And the van was running. So you different feelings. We were about 3 hours away from Panama City, the base where we were staying at. And they were getting upset. And, "Whoa, Andrew, what did you do?" And, I was also kind of saying, "What did I do? I wasn't even thinking. And what will we do now?" And so I got the group. We prayed and said, "Well, Lord, your name be glorified in this." I don't know how, but we did it. And so there was this man that takes care of that private beach that came with a wire. And I said, "Oh, I know. What's he's up to?" And so we kind of opened the door and a lot of pressure and put this wire in and started trying to get the lever to be able to open the door. So we were 1 hour and a half there. The motor engine was going, and we were just patiently working. That fellow there with that special different tie, he's an engineer, so I asked him to see if he could somehow use his expertise. And so we were there 1 hour and a half. The beautiful thing is that conversations started with this man that had brought this wire. And so when we were almost finished and with everything done, complete, the job, doors open, I went over to him and I asked him, "Where will you spend your destiny?" We had already been talking, so we had already shared of the gospel. But before going, I just wanted to make sure that I'd leave that question there. And he said, well, from what you say, I think my eternity will be somewhere that I don't want it to be. And I think I should take a decision. And he did. And he accepted Christ. So those were very little experiences that God allowed us to and to show us and to show the group that he's in control of absolutely everything and that he's working. And when there are certain things that kind of turn around and come back to you and you say, well, this is not good or discourages you, the Lord all of a sudden turns everything around again and shows you I'm in control and I'm doing the work. Your instruments, I am doing the work. Trust me. And that's a beautiful lesson that all of us as a group enjoyed. So that was a very nice experience for Panama. In fact, pray for Gonzi and Mariela. As you were saying, you are supporting us. And we finished in Panama. But this couple will finish definitely in Panama because they went on this trip and they felt the burden and the calling of God, and the church is behind it all in Montevideo, and we're all saying, yeah, you're going to Panama. That's okay. So they're leaving their jobs, leaving their family, leaving their church, and they're moving to Panama. So it's incredible how the Lord works, and we never know the ways that he will bless the ministry. So you're being part of this. And that's the neat thing. That's what I like about the body of Christ. It's not of one missionary somewhere in the world, one church up here, all spread around. It's all of us working together for the glory of Jesus' name. Another area, and a strong area of our ministry, is to assist and support churches in Uruguay. We are working with 35 churches at this moment, all together in fellowship, in communion, and strategically, we are working together. And so we always like to take young people around. There you see the mate. Sometimes you'll see three drinking mate and one working. That also happens. And there's always a good barbecue when there's construction. And this also is very important for the young people. We also like to take young families with us, as you see in the pictures. And they go along with us, visit Carmelo and other churches. And so it's good for us, but it's good for them because it's part of the training as we move around. Like this couple traveled almost over 1,000 kilometers just for a weekend to be able to go to the church in Carmelo and minister to the young people and to the teens and to the children and also preach at the Sunday Family Bible Hour. Soccer is big, so we always rent a field. So we take children and teenagers from the poor area of the city to a field, have 2 hours of sports with them. And many of them have come to the Lord, have accepted Jesus as their Savior. Some of them are being discipled at this moment. Many of them have gone to camp in the past January season. Remember that we are on the other side of the equator. So it's summer now. We are enjoying the snow today. Different places that we visit and we encourage. There are some testimonies incredible. That lady there, that's right beside Leticia on the picture below, she was a demon-possessed lady. You have probably never seen something like that. But it's incredible. And we come, and we've had to deal with several people along our ministry, and you just see the power of the Lord coming in and moving these barriers and saving these people from not just sin and lost for eternity, but also afflicted in their flesh. And in their spirit, and emotionally, just destroyed completely. So she is a miracle. And she has been saved for many years, and she's very active serving the Lord. She's not wasting time. All the time that she lost away from God, she's now just going and serving and always being an encouragement to others. So as I said, our speaking engagements and ministry of teaching and training take us all over the country and different places, churches, camps, and events that are programmed. And Leticia is very, she's a very good actress. She dresses up. And she'll become, so when she gives a missionary story, she won't teach the missionary story or teach about the person. She'll become the person. So she dresses up and she's amazing. If she could speak fluently and feel comfortable, it would be worthwhile bringing her up here and letting her present one of those lives. So she's done Mary Jones, Amy Carmichael, and Corrie Ten Boom, and maybe Fanny Crosby, and several. And so, yes, it's amazing how the Lord has been using her. Big churches that you would have never imagined have called her, and churches of 500 and 600 people have called her to just give these theater lessons or whatever. I don't know how you call them, but she's very good. So the Lord is using her a lot in this area, and there she is. Counseling is another big area. 80% of the people that are in our churches in Uruguay now, of this group of 35 churches, 80% come from non-Christian background. So they have been saved recently. So there's a lot of work in counseling. Young people, young couples. So these are training sessions that we have for the young generation, 20 to 30. All of them are involved in Sunday school teaching and teenage work. But we bring them for a weekend and have Bible study, Bible training, and giving them tools to be able to minister in an effective way. And so they come from all over the country, and we have them there for a weekend, and it's great. And counseling, we go to bed 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. So program is, the normal program for a day is from 7 to 7 evening. But we keep on going all night because these young people need it. They're asking for help. Camp ministry is big. There are 3 camps in Uruguay. This is a camp on the east coast. Beautiful beaches. This is a camp where Rob and Cecilia are, El Ombú. There are no beaches, but there's a beautiful swimming pool. And this is a camp where my dad is involved at, and my brother also is working at this camp a lot. This is right down south, right down by the beaches, not the ocean, but on River Plate. January, between the 3 camps, we're having 1,500 children and teenagers going to them. That's the impact that the churches are having in the new generation. 1,500 children and young people. With $75, you can send a child in poverty to a summer camp. Just think about that. It's worthwhile because their life changes. Many come to the Lord. Others take very important decisions at camp. Leticia has been working at a Christian school in Montevideo. And this school has 800 students. 85% of them come from non-Christian homes. And that ministry is incredible because she's teaching Bible to 150 students every week. And she's preaching the gospel. So she has more unsaved people than any pastor or evangelist has in the country. She has them there in 1 week. And so many have accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So it's a beautiful ministry, and pray for her. She works there 4 hours every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Marriage ministry also is very big, and we are very intentional about this ministry. As I said, 80% of the young people who are getting married in our churches come from non-Christian background. So they have to be taught about God's will and how a marriage functions. I mean, I know we've had some couples that come from Christian families that aren't doing things in the proper way. They're not honoring God. Absolutely. And they have to come down the advice and counsel of those who can encourage them and correct them when it's needed. And so it's beautiful to see many of these couples, very sensitive, and they appreciate the advice. And they are quick learners. And we have many of them. There are some pictures of some of the couples that we've worked with, even some older than us. And these are all couples from the church in Montevideo. They're not married. I have to marry them when we go back now in March. On the bottom, he's the engineer that went to Panama with the group. So all of them are young couples. Some of them have kids. They're all serving. It's very nice to see the what God is doing in their lives. So there's quite a bit of work. You probably remember that Amy was baptized in one of the newsletters that we sent. She was baptized in April, and she's already serving. That's her first camp as a leader. This little girl kept on calling Amy mommy. And throughout the camp. And so, well, after we knew that, she didn't have her mommy. And so those are some of the very difficult things that we have to meet when we are in ministry and serving people in Uruguay. So the Lord is already using Amy in a very nice way. As I said, we are working with 35 churches together. This is the national retreat the ladies have in September. 300 ladies gather. It's fantastic. Leticia is part of organizing this retreat. In October, we have another retreat with the young people. So we gather 300 to 400 young people from all over the country also. And so there's Bible teaching, Bible training, and ministry training. And we also take advantage to do street evangelism. So you can imagine this neighborhood with 400 young people. It's a major impact. And so it's incredible the way that we've been able to mobilize the youth for evangelism. This is an elder, pastor, and missionary gathering that we have once a year between all of these churches. We pray, we study the Bible, we just share different burdens, and we always have a good barbecue, and we always have the mate on our tables. These are my two cousins, Rob and Cecilia's daughters, married to two Uruguayans, Alejandro and Hugo. And they have just left for Brazil to do a training with New Tribes Mission. And so they'll be with that training between 2 to 3 years and a half before God guides them wherever. So pray for them. As Gonzi, Mariela, and these two couples, there are three couples that are leaving Uruguay and sent out into the world. So pray for these couples, and also pray for the responsibility that the churches have in Uruguay of supporting them. Pray for the vehicle change. 3 years ago when we left Canada, somebody decided that they weren't going to stop at the stop sign. So ran into me, turned me around and over. And so the van was in a total wreck. They fixed it up because that was the decision of the insurance company. So we've been using that vehicle. But this is an important need that we ask you to pray for. What we have is more than what we need. And I believe that God will provide for this need. So if we could change the vehicle by 2017, we will be doing it if it's God's will. Some prayer requests. Family, you know that Annie has no more epilepsy. Gone. No more seizure. Okay? So praise the Lord for that. We are very thankful, and we are very thankful for your prayers also towards her. Pray for the elders of the church in Montevideo. They are new elders. They've been working there for 4 years. And so they are getting adjusted to the new role in the church there. Pray for the spiritual leadership in Carmelo. We are working a lot with a young couple. Their names are Jorge and Paola. I believe there's a potential for spiritual leadership in Jorge They both of them love the Lord. They love to study the Bible, and they love people. And so it'll take some more years of training and discipleship and working along with them, but pray for them. Wisdom, as we work with a new generation, as you've seen, there are hundreds of teenagers and young people that are in the churches, and we are working with them. Marriage counseling is part, and please pray for that. This is our new prayer card and our email address. So all of the updates and email newsletters, we send them to those of you who want to have our address and apply for that. If you want this prayer card at the end, over lunch, we can give you one. So thanks a lot for your prayers, and thanks for your support sent through MSC. I want to share, and I want to finish in 5 minutes, so we'll have to do this quick. Three readies. What's that? Paul was ready for three things. Paul was ready to serve. Paul was ready to suffer. And Paul was ready to sacrifice. The first of all is, this is a whole sermon of 40 minutes, okay? So I'm just going to bring it down into 5 minutes, these three. Romans 1, verses 8 to 15 express how Paul is ready for service. For God is my witness, whom I serve, says the Apostle Paul. And he says on the bottom, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. That was Paul's desire, to be able to go to Rome and also be part of the work there. In that passage of Romans 1, from verse 8 to verse 15, I'd like to give you three observations from the text. Intensity in prayer. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, says Paul. Necessity for fellowship. I long to see you, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. An opportunity to establish and to equip, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. Paul was ready to serve. But in this context, intensity in prayer, necessity for fellowship, an opportunity to establish and to equip. It was not about him. It was not about what he could do. He was a real, intelligent, and well-prepared man. But he knew that it wasn't about him. It was about the glory of God and the grace of God and all of the opportunities that God would give him to be able to bless others. So he was ready to serve. But he also was ready to suffer. When he was in Caesarea, there in Acts 21, he was staying at the house of Philip, the evangelist. And he was about to depart to Jerusalem when a certain prophet came down from Judea and took his belt, bound his hands and feet. Remember that story? And said, the Holy Spirit says, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And what did Paul answer? What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul was ready to serve. But he knew that service would take him a step ahead and would make him suffer. And he's saying, I am ready for that. I am willing to suffer for the name of my Lord Jesus Christ. And in third place, just to finish, Paul says, I am ready for sacrifice. In 2 Timothy 4, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. Yeah, the Roman emperor was going to kill him. His last days. And he was saying, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. I am ready to sacrifice my life for the sake of Jesus Christ. Paul was a man who was ready to serve the Lord, to suffer for him, and to sacrifice his life for him. And that's worth it. We've remembered the Lord Jesus Christ with the emblems here this morning, and we know what he is for us and what he has done for us. We just ponder that. I had it right in front of me, and I said, man, that's beautiful. Almighty God, wonderful, restorer, Savior, Christ the Lord, Counselor, Beloved, Prince of Peace, Almighty God, in the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bless his name. And we bless his name because he gives us the opportunity to serve in Uruguay, here in Pine Grove, in this neighborhood, around the town, in your where you study, where you work. The Lord allows us to be able to serve him, suffer, maybe, and even sacrifice, maybe, in a future. Never know. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for the power of your name and because you are constantly transforming people and transforming their heart all around the globe. And your work around the world is just amazing. The ways that you're bringing people to you, hundreds and thousands every day, and we praise your name for that. We want all the glory to be for your person, and we want to live for you. We want to be ready to serve, to suffer, and to sacrifice as the Apostle Paul has taught us. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.